Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Something New Under the Sun, An Environmental History of the 20th Century World by J.R.R. McNeil is a global environmental history that examines how human activity transformed the planet during the 20th century. Rather than treating environmental change as a side effect of political or economic history, McNeil places it at the center of modern world history. The book argues that earlier societies altered landscapes, forests, soils, and water systems. But the 20th century produced changes of a different scale and intensity. Fossil fuel energy, industrial production, population growth, mechanized agriculture, military competition, and global markets combined to reshape air, water, land, and living systems. Written for scholars, students, and informed general readers, the book is analytical rather than polemical. And its purpose is not to offer a simple environmental warning, but to explain how modern institutions and technologies created unprecedented ecological consequences across the world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 20th century as a break in environmental scale. McNeil's central argument is that the 20th century marked a major discontinuity in the history of human effects on the Earth. Human communities had long cleared forests, irrigated fields, hunted animals, mined metals, and modified rivers. But the scale of these actions remained limited by available energy, population size, transport systems, and technology. In the 20th century, those limits changed rapidly. Industrial economies could move more material, burn more fuel, manufacture more chemicals, and extend their influence farther than any previous societies. The book treats this shift as historical, not merely scientific. McNeil asks why the century became so environmentally intense and shows that the answer lies in the convergence of economic growth, demographic expansion, state power, and technological reach. This framing is important because it avoids the idea that environmental degradation is simply a timeless human tendency. Instead, it presents modern environmental change as the product of specific historical conditions. The result is a global narrative in which the century's wars, development projects, consumer habits, and energy systems become part of one larger environmental transformation. Secondly, fossil fuel energy as the engine of planetary change. A major mechanism in the book is the rise of fossil fuel energy, especially coal, oil, and natural gas, as the foundation of modern power. McNeil emphasizes that fossil fuels did more than supply electricity or transportation. They multiplied the physical capacity of societies to alter the environment. They powered factories, ships, automobiles, aircraft, pumps, tractors, mining equipment, and military machines. This expansion allowed humans to extract resources faster, cultivate land more intensively, move goods across oceans, and concentrate production in industrial regions. Fossil fuels also created new atmospheric consequences through emissions, making energy history inseparable from climate and air pollution history. McNeil's treatment is distinctive because he does not isolate energy from social and political systems. Oil dependence, industrial competition, national development, and strategic military planning all help lock societies into high energy pathways. The book, therefore, presents fossil fuels not simply as a technical resource, but as a historical force that reorganized economies, landscapes, cities, and global power relations. This focus helps explain why 20th century environmental change accelerated so dramatically. Thirdly, population growth, agriculture, and the intensification of land use. McNeil gives significant attention to the relationship between population growth and the transformation of land, food systems, and rural environments. The 20th century saw a massive increase in human numbers, and feeding this population required expanded and intensified agriculture, mechanization, synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, irrigation works, and improved crop varieties increased yields, but they also altered soils, waterways, pest ecologies, and patterns of energy use. The book treats these developments with balance. Agricultural innovation prevented famine in many settings and supported urban and industrial growth. Yet it often depended on ecological simplification and heavy inputs. Irrigation could make dry regions productive, while also contributing to salinization, river depletion, and disruption of wetlands. Chemical farming could raise output while creating new forms of pollution and biological vulnerability. McNeil's point is not that population alone caused environmental stress, but that population growth interacted with technology, markets, and state policy. This interaction made agriculture one of the central arenas in which human survival, economic ambition, and environmental change became tightly linked during the 20th century. Fourthly, pollution, atmosphere, water, and the spread of unintended consequences. The book shows that many 20th century environmental changes were not the direct goals of human action, but unintended consequences of production, consumption, and development. Industrial smoke, urban sewage, chemical waste, automobile exhaust, fertilizer runoff, and airborne pollutants illustrate how modern systems generated byproducts that move beyond their points of origin. McNeil's global approach is useful here because it connects local pollution problems to wider structures. A factory town, a polluted river, an expanding city, or an agricultural region cannot be understood only as isolated cases. Each reflects broader patterns of energy, use, industrial organization, regulation, and demand. The atmosphere and oceans receive particular importance because they reveal the planetary reach of human activity. Air and water systems carry effects across borders, turning environmental history into international and global history. McNeil's analysis also explains why some problems became visible only after they had accumulated over time. Pollution was often tolerated while economic benefits seemed immediate, but delayed ecological and health effects exposed the hidden costs of 20th century development. Lastly, war, state power, and international politics as environmental drivers. McNeil places politics and geopolitics within environmental history rather than treating them as separate domains. 20th century states mobilized resources on a vast scale, especially during wars, colonial development programs, Cold War competition, and national modernization campaigns. Military needs accelerated mining, fuel consumption, transport networks, chemical production, and technological innovation. Developmental states pursued dams, highways, irrigation systems, industrial zones, and urban expansion as symbols of progress and sovereignty. International rivalry often encouraged rapid extraction and production, while environmental costs were deferred or shifted to politically weaker communities and regions. This perspective broadens the usual account of environmental change beyond markets and consumers. It shows that governments, armies, planners, and international institutions were central actors in reshaping landscapes and resource flows. McNeil does not reduce environmental history to political blame. Instead, he shows how political incentives made ecological transformation appear rational or necessary at the time. This is one reason the book remains important. It explains environmental damage as embedded in the normal operations of modern power, security, and development. In conclusion, Something New Under the Sun is best suited to readers who want a historically grounded explanation of modern environmental change rather than a narrow policy argument or a single issue environmental critique. Students of environmental history, world history, geography, sustainability, political ecology, and international affairs will benefit from its broad synthesis, while general readers will find a clear framework for understanding why the 20th century was environmentally exceptional. Its practical value lies in helping readers see that climate change, pollution, biodiversity loss, land degradation, and resource extraction are not isolated crises. They are linked to long-term systems of energy use, population growth, industrial production, agriculture, war, and development. The book stands out from many environmental works because of its synoptic global scale and its restrained analytical tone. McNeil avoids simple moralizing and instead explains how ordinary goals such as growth, security, food supply, mobility, and national power produced extraordinary ecological effects. Compared with more activist or regionally focused books, it offers a wider historical map of cause and consequence. Its main strength is not detailed local case study, but the ability to connect many forms of environmental change into a coherent account of the modern world. If you would like to support J.R. McNeil, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.